Hey, this is DJ Laura. You're now listening to part two of the May 24th Jimmy Dome Show.
Born a natural loser, I can't recall to swear. Raised on pool and poker and a dollar here and there. Blackjack hand, dealer man, you better pay off that last bet. Two-bit hand of 21, that's all I ever get. Go down gambling. I said when you're running low. Go down gambling.
It's the Jimmy Dome Show. Part 2. May 24th.
All right, we're back.
Okay, good.
The one and only Jimmy Dome is live.
I think it's the one and only too. That's for sure. Yeah, we're gonna set up. We're gonna do better than last month on the incoming, so that'll be good.
Hey.
A number of people.
Oh, I wanted to make a quick mention. The deal with the War Games movie is it's called, and you can't find it. It's called War Games 2, but it's all one word, War Games, and then it's called The Dead Code. And so you have to put like kind of that stuff in to find the computer's name is Ripley, like in, from the Sigourney Weaver,
yeah,
right?
Good.
So anyway,
okay.
But I will post a link.
And
to
when
it.
And when is it out? When does it do out?
My straight to DVD or something.
Yeah, I think it's going straight to DVD actually.
Okay, well that'll be.
So you got to get your Netflix.
Don't worry, my Netflix is thing. You know.
Got... Yeah, I finally. Well, they closed the movie gallery next to my house.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I had to. I'm on Netflix now.
Yeah, well you. By the way, where's my thing?
What thing?
You were going to bring me that disc of the Muppet thing.
Oh, it's over at the house.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Hey,
yeah.
So right now on May 24th in Colorado,
we have Councilor Curtis,
the Libertarian.
Convention.
Yeah, you're is
official.
Going on.
So
live.
Let me ask you, how many delegates are there from Florida?
So we got our man in the street. So Councilor Curtis, are you with us?
I am here.
All right. Reporting
I am
live.
At the convention in Denver.
Okay, and so it's what time? What is it? About 8 o'clock out there?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and so is it over for the day?
No. Right now they're doing the presidential candidates debate.
Okay, and who? And is Bob Barr there?
He is.
Okay, and are people going to vote for him?
It looks that way.
I kind of figured they would. I figured that would be he'd be the one that would walk away with it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. There's a lot of guys out here with a lot of good ideas. Most of the candidates, their core ideas are aligned. I mean, there's a little bit of difference. Some people like fair trade instead of free trade. Some people like medical marijuana instead of all marijuana.
instead of the good stuff.
but there's still very few charismatic speakers.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's this one guy, Mr. Finan, and, you know, he's a nice guy, and he rode his motorcycle out here from New York, you know, and but he talks like he laid the bike down a few times.
Kind of bumped you know, his head on something.
Yeah, you know, a couple of rolls.
Yeah.
You know? And,
pull a Teddy Kennedy tumor?
Yeah. Something, you know, I mean,
a couple of rolls. Yeah, he rolled something all right.
Yeah. Well, probably
something to take the pain away.
I mean, I want to be president because, like, man, I wanna.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's about what it was.
Yeah.
Now, so Mr. Barr, of course, is a seasoned politician,
right?
And he knows how to speak, and it comes across. It shows,
right.
And now there's a lot of complaints because apparently a lot of people feel like he has hijacked the party.
Right, he's a Johnny come lately.
Right, and what happened was in 2006 the party reorganized at their convention, and they ditched a platform with 62 planks on it, and they adopted one with 15 planks. So major revisions, and indications are that people were doing that kind of stuff so that Mr. Barr would feel comfortable on the Libertarian platform.
Right. Well, good.
Which, I have no problem with it. You know, it looks as though they've diluted the purism of the Libertarian Party bit, but at the same time, they're bringing in people who can make a serious impact. And unfortunately, I mean, we need an impact, and we're looking at membership at like 0.01% of the population.
Right.
I mean, it's bad in terms of numbers. And this place is still a fringe festival. I mean, it looks like they got the Grateful Dead concert in the same hotel.
You know? Run into Jerry at the bar, huh?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, there's, you know, I could probably find some drugs in the lobby.
Yeah, the a lot of Birkenstocks.
Hey, bring some home.
Yeah.
Make sure don't forget the people back here at the studio when you come back. You leave your clothes.
So it smells funny in the hallway in the hotel or what?
Well, it's not that bad actually. I tried. I went to the gay and lesbian transsexual bisexual party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, to try to find something fun to do, huh?
Man, I figured if there was going to be drugs, it'd be at that party, you know. but you know, they were drinking like beer and wine and stuff, you know.
I mean, were there any strippers or no?
No, you know, they were everybody. That group was kind of small, unfortunately, and you know, I think the whole party is still in need of some serious recruitment from the other two parties.
Well, let me tell you, it's one of the things you should mention that, because one of the reasons I have stopped really contributing big money to the National Party in Washington is, you know, we went by there. We visited up there on Massachusetts Avenue, and then I got the stuff from them, you know, and they rearranged some stuff, and I said, and then they hired a new guy because they were going broke, and they had like, I don't know, there were only like a million people total that even hardly knew what the party was, and I forget what their membership went down to, but then I read how they were going to go about recruiting it, and you thought, well, duh, this is a loser deal, and that was one of the reasons I basically stopped sending them any money. They didn't have a clue on how to go ahead and actually make an idea. I mean, I knew what to do, for God's sakes, and they didn't. So I said, well, if they don't know that much, then I'm out, basically.
Yeah, it looks like maybe some of the new Johnny Come Lately, new leader type peoples know how to grow a party. And from what I've seen, it looks like they're creating their materials to pitch better to the general public, and they're picking people who obviously can't win, but maybe who can make a big enough splash to attract some attention to the party, and everybody's hoping to benefit from the Ron Paul movement.
Right. Well, of course, good luck on that. It's interesting because Stefan Molyneux had quite an extensive monologue on why that had failed and why it was doomed to failure and everything. And actually, he made a lot of sense. And if anybody wants to, they can probably go to his site and download the particular episode that he talked about recently in the last couple of weeks.
Do you see a lot of people there, counselor?
How many people are there total in the convention?
I mean,
it's like 500. Well, I mean,
you know, how many did we have at the state convention here? Didn't we have like 120 or 30 or something? Just the start?
Literally, it's probably two, maybe three times as big as our state convention that we had in Florida.
And of course, we put that on right in case anybody's interested.
What's that?
The state when we did correctly here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a hell of a convention. That's when Harry Brown was here.
Now wait a second. Now there was supposed to be at least almost a thousand delegates alone, weren't there?
But
apparently
that's
all
what
the
they are.
But
they're not there.
They're not there.
Well, if they're here, they're hiding.
Are they going to phone it in or what?
They're taking bong hits in the hotel room, apparently.
They
missed the party or what?
Well, I mean, we've got this one room that's set up that looks like a national convention room. I mean, there's seats for 1,000 people in there and all sorts of, you know, drinks on the table and everything, water and whatever. But it's deserted. I mean, I was in there today, and I mean, we have 53 delegates from Florida, and there was like a dozen of us there.
Are you staying in the main hotel where the convention is?
You got
a nice room or what?
Yeah, it's a decent place downtown. I mean, and it's cheap too. They gave us a deal.
Yeah,
nice.
That's the way it always works. I put the one on here with another fellow, and we did all that stuff. And for a state convention, it was the best they'd ever had. But anyway, backing up a minute though to get to some of this stuff. One of the little minor problems, as you well know, with the Libertarian Party is if you're going to have essentially what amounts to a stateless society, so to speak. You know, the Libertarians are for super small, if any, government kind of thing. That's one of the problems that you've got about having people, you know, how do you convince somebody to be part of a group and at the same time you don't want a group?
Right. Well, and I think that problem is being solved because the distinction is being made quite clearly between the stuff that the Libertarians want to take out of government and the stuff that they want to leave in. The people who are just total anarchists are dropping out of the situation. They're getting disgusted with the, quote, reform, and
And it would make sense that they would.
Right. And you know, see ya. I mean, you know, you can't like you said, you can't form a group to disband. You know,
yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, the purpose of this group is to not have a group when we get done. something's wrong with this picture. No, and you're absolutely right about that. And that's what Molyneux talks about. And that in a nutshell, unless it happens, I don't know, spontaneously, good luck. And of course, what happens is the bottom line problem, and this is one of the things that I've said all along, it may be philosophically contradictory to have a state, so to speak, a very small state. Yeah, but if you're going to have one, why not a big one kind of thing? That's the way it happens. But the way I look at it is, at least for the foreseeable future, if you could get it down to, 2% or something, it might take another 100 years or something to build back up. And in the meantime, you have a good time.
Right.
So, that would be the deal is that, yeah, it's going to fail. It's going to fail. Because you've given them monopoly power. The state by definition has monopoly power. And so that there's really no limit to how, there might be a limit to how fast it grows, but that ultimately it's going to take over. And what you try and do is to do let's go back to the bottom of that escalator and start over again. And maybe in 100 years we'll be at the top, and maybe I'll be dead. You'll be dead. And maybe those people haven't figured out how to stay at the bottom of the escalator by that time. But in the meantime, we get all the really neat stuff that goes with capitalism and all the brand new iPhones. Only whatever the iPhone iteration will be 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, and the holodeck, which we're all looking forward to.
So, definitely.
The holodeck.
And there are some serious divisions, some movements within the Libertarian Party that are making great strides. For example, the Marijuana Policy Project is really doing some great stuff. They got up there and were talking about how at the next election cycle we might have 3 more states that approve of medical marijuana. And they talked about the Denver law, which we talked about on our show. The city of Denver passed a law that said it's okay to possess marijuana in small amounts. And then the officials said, yeah, that's cool, but we're going to still enforce the state law.
The federal law.
No, the state law.
The state law.
Oh, okay.
And the federal law also, but the state law too. And so what they've done now is they have an initiative to have Colorado accept city home rule, which basically would mean that whatever the cities decide for themselves trumps the state law.
Whoa.
And that's not an uncommon initiative.
I would think we'd have a hard time. You'd have a hard time getting that passed, I would imagine. I mean, home rule is one thing.
They say they've got a lot of people behind it, and the stuff that they've talked about, the ballot initiative that they've been able to get on the other state, and the success they've had here is really encouraging. I mean, for example, they had some people prosecuted under the state law here for their medical marijuana use. The cops came and took their plants out of their house. Well, just recently.
Not the plants, man.
The plants.
Don't tase me, bro.
Don't throw me in the. Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase my plant. You can tase me, but not my plant.
Right. And what happened was they actually got to sue the state police and to return the plant, and they won.
Have they been maintaining their plant the whole time?
Well, yeah, it was 6 months later, so all the plants were budding.
All right.
I'm kidding. the plants had actually died, and now they're suing for damages.
But my point, of course, the big question is, doesn't race trump this?
The
thing that the California when the feds came in and told California to jump on it
race basically says that the federal marshals have control and they can come in and do what they want, and that's true. This was a city versus state problem, and the marshals can still show up here and bust whoever they want. But there's only like 6 dispensaries in Colorado where there's hundreds in California, so they don't really bother with it over here yet.
I would think that with 6, though, it would be a lot easier to bust them down. In other words, if you've got hundreds in California, it's like, you put one out of business and 2 minutes later it's open back down the street or something. Whereas if you only have 6 in Colorado. So let me ask you this. They would be easier to find them. So let me ask you this. If there's 3 more states, or if states start doing this, I mean, aren't the federal law hasn't been changed any. I mean, the federal law, they've reasserted it under Wickard v. Filburn. As you know, that's how Raich got
the old Wickard v. Filburn.
Oh, which is on our top worst rulings ever. And of course, Raich was the thing, and California said the feds could still come in no matter what the state did. The state said it's legal, and the feds could still come in and, you know, put and send their federal SWAT team in. So what's going to happen when the other three states that is, you know, do initiatives? Are the feds are still going to march in there, right?
Well, potentially. But you see, the great thing about the national government is that they follow the trend. And the way that marijuana went illegal was it started in California. California made it illegal, or Texas, and then it went state by state. And it swept through the nation over about 10 or 12 years. And then the Fed finally ratified, finally did their own law.
Right.
And that's why you hear sometimes people will say, well, they made it illegal with only 5 minutes debate. Well, that's because that was at the federal level after all the states had already debated everything.
Right. Well, that was the same thing. That was exactly what happened with prohibition. I don't know. There was a dozen or two dozen states that had outlawed liquor before they actually did prohibition.
And so what's happening now is it's going in the reverse direction.
Let's hope.
If it goes state by state. And, I mean, we're almost at a third of the states that have medical marijuana laws. Well, once it gets to be half, I think the road will slick up a bit and we'll move in that direction.
Not Florida.
No, Florida is like
the last one. We'll be the last. I don't think women could vote in Florida to what, 69 or something?
Well,
I'm serious.
Why is Florida? Why is Florida so far behind? I mean, we got old people here that would really like to do well. My mother, when she died, for God's sake, you remember supplying her.
Well, and it's true. There are a lot of old people there who could benefit from it, but what it is there's no ballot initiative in Florida, so you have to go through the legislature if you want to pass a law. And so, you know, it's tough. I mean, you gotta get it at the top level. The elite guys have
to want it. As you well know, they're not going to do that. So that's never going to happen. And the ballot initiative, you can imagine what would happen if. And actually, ballot initiatives here in Florida are not all that difficult to get on. I forget what the number is, but it's not, you know, it's a couple hundred thousand, I think. But
I think you can do a constitutional amendment, but you can't do a law.
Right. Okay. Good. You're probably right. That's why pigs have rights in Florida.
That's right.
Because it's in our Constitution. Pigs alone, mind you. If you're a cow,
sweet,
you're out of luck. Or if you're a monkey or something like that, which, of course, brings up the other thing. They're going to try and make monkeys humans over in Europe. you saw that, didn't you?
We were going to talk about it, though.
Well, what I want to talk about, do you have anything in particular about this convention that we should know about?
Earth-shattering
news?
No, not too much. I mean, what I've already said is pretty much it. I mean, I wanted to mention a couple of things. We may get Dan Williams, who is now a vice presidential candidate out of Bonita Beach, Florida. He may, and he wrote an anti-drug war book called The Naked Truth About Drugs. And he seemed like a really articulate guy, and he may call into our show. So listeners, you can check out that maybe on the next show.
Are you getting some man on the street clips or what?
No. Well, I mean, here I am. I'm on the street right now, actually.
and you're the man.
And you're the man.
So it doesn't get any better than that. No, the reason I wanted to, if we're done with that, is I wanted to ask you about the polygamous thing.
What's up?
I am. The only other thing I want to say about this convention is that there's fortunately they have avoided the Simpsons season 7 description of where we should go, which is upwards, not downwards. Back, forwards, not backwards. And always twirling.
Bob Dole likes that.
Everybody here seems to have a good deal of substance, and I think once people start to pay attention to this, hopefully if this gets some attention, I think that this really could grow the party this year.
Well, one of the things, of course, I've always maintained is that the Libertarian Party, people talk about, well, it's a loser deal, and you're going to elect Hillary or Obama if it takes away the votes from McCain and so forth. And I'm saying, so what? Number one. Number two, at least I've always maintained that is one way, since we don't legally have a way to vote none of the above, this is the way to do it. And if people don't seem to realize it, if Obama gets in and decides to go Marxist, totally Marxist on us, what'll happen is what happened in 90, for, and that'll be a reaction that all the Democrats will be thrown out of Congress, and the thing will go either into gridlock or balanced budget, or who knows what's going to happen. But I mean, people don't understand that the reaction to Bill Clinton's winning, you know, by 43% of the vote, thank you so much, in 92, was the elections of 94, which basically repudiated him. So it took 24 months to repudiate his views. And so if Obama gets in and decides, as I say, to go completely Karl Marx, socialist, whatever it is, you can bet that 24 months later, it'll all be repudiated. And it doesn't, so that's why it doesn't bother me. Life goes on. And of course, the thing that I worry about as much as anything is if McCain gets in, I mean, he's a rhino, you know, Republican in name only. He's still a statist, heavy statist. He's not talking about reducing the size of government at all. Nobody's talking about balancing the budget. Nobody's talking about borrowing fewer dollars from the Chinese or anything like that. And it's all a bunch of, you know, gobbledygook and just pandering to certain number of voters. So my point is that you could do worse. In fact, you could do a lot worse than voting for the Libertarian Party, at least if nothing else, as a vote of none of the above, and nothing bad will happen from it. I mean, maybe you might have 24 months of angst, but other than that, it's as bad as it's going to get. And, you know, there will not be any mushroom clouds.
Well, and also, look, I mean, the parties that are in power now started out as nothing. There is potential for growth. And there's a tipping point that comes with just a few percentage points. I mean, if any candidate from here could get like 10 or 15% of the vote instead of 2 or 5, then the next election cycle, you could convince people that there's an actual chance.
Well, you say that, but we've had that before. You know, Russ Perot got 19% of the vote.
Well, but he wasn't part of the Libertarian Party. He was independent.
Well,
what I'm saying is...
What about Jesse Ventura? How much did he get?
He was independent also, but he won. And he won the governorship.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, and there was a guy who wasn't supposed to win at all, you know, apparently had no chance. So my point is that these guys out here are looking long term. There's a guy, Wayne Allen Root from Las Vegas, who...
I've heard of him.
He has a 16-year plan, which I think is very realistic. And he's going to help as many people get elected in the meantime, between now and then. And he's hoping in 16 years that we'll have grown the momentum to the point of where we can swing in there. And I think that's a realistic possibility.
Well, of course, I'm always a little nervous about 16 years, because so much can happen in 16 years. You know, the Republican Party basically was formed and won in the span of, I think, fewer than 8 years. From 1852 to 1860 or something, whatever it was. And there is something to be said for a lightning strike. And that was one of the reasons that the Republicans took over in 94, was that they had their 10-point plan, which didn't exist until 6 months before the election, the contract with America. I mean, and it was one of those things that everybody could get behind and not get worried or just frayed about it. And it didn't become old hat. It was still something, you know, there's always a momentum. As you know, there's what they call, a lot of times when people win or lose an election, they say he peaked too early, or if we could have held the election 2 weeks later, we'd have won it, or something along those lines.
Because, that's right.
It's all timing. And so, you know, I look out 16 years, and I'm telling you right now, if I were to look back 16 years and try and guess what was happening today, good luck.
Well, I think 16 is too long also. I mean, I think 8 is probably more realistic. But, I mean, I'm just pointing out that there are people in this party that are looking long-term. There's potential for growth. If we gather more mainstream people from the disgruntled people in the other parties, we'll get some charismatic speakers. You know, another front runner out here has got great ideas, but he's got this whiny voice, and you can't stand him if you hear it.
Who's that?
Okay, now let me tell you.
With the voice?
That's George Philly.
Okay,
George,
let me tell you. What you need to do is, why don't you get in one of those Darth Vader helmets with the voice changer in it? That would be perfect. No, that's it. And it not only would you hide his face and everything, but I mean, what a commanding voice that would be.
Absolutely.
You know, in the back, he's going, "Hey, now, what did I tell you this?" And I want to tell you that we're
going. Yeah, I mean,
the power of the Force is with you.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
They should just hire James Earl Jones to speak for him, you know. And now Darth Vader will say my speech.
That's right. And or they could just have a simultaneous translation or something. You know, he could just mouth it. You know, he could do like lip sync it.
All right.
Luke, I am
your
father.
Well, that's all I got about the party. And let me comment on the Texas thing before I got to get off here.
Okay.
I love it. This is brilliant. This is great. For everybody who doesn't know, I'm going to recap real quick. In Texas, the Child Protective Services people heard that there was some shenanigans going on in this relatively secret cult.
Yep.
And they were doing, you know, they were maybe doing some polygamous things or marrying too young or you know, for the current status quo or whatever they were doing. There were allegations that, that there was abuse to these children. And so the authorities came in and took over 430 kids, I think 438 kids from these people, okay, with very, very little evidence. And the judge, the first judge that they came before, basically said, well, we don't have time for all these hearings. If I give everybody 5 minutes, it would take 6 weeks. So I'm just going to allow the state to take all these kids just for the children, and we're going to protect them. We're going to err on the side of safety, they said. Of course, but then what they did is they scattered these children around Texas, some of them hundreds of miles away in foster care. And, of course, the parents lost their mind. And, you know, they went, they drove all over Texas to see their kids and everything. And who knows what kind of traumatic harm it's done to all these kids, especially the ones who weren't being abused in any way. And we're talking a lot of these kids were very young, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old. I mean, they hadn't been introduced to polygamy or anything like that. And there was certainly no cause for their removal from these families.
Yeah.
And that's what the appeals court said. The appeals court overturned the lower court and basically said, you guys screwed up. You had no evidence, no authority to do what you did, and, you know, good intentions be damned. Sorry, too bad. You got to have some evidence. And I love it. Thank God the court has stood up and said, let me see some facts before we cause all this harm to these kids.
Well, I noticed that the kids are staying in foster care, though.
Well, only...
for a little while.
Right. And the fact is, this undermines the lower court ruling, and these kids will get back to their parents. You know, barring some other craziness by Child Protective Services, which I don't put past them at all.
Well, aren't they going to appeal this?
Well, it would be tough to appeal that. I would imagine that they would try, but it was the 3-0 on the appeals court ruled 3-0 against the lower court. And
what was the lower court thinking?
I mean, I don't know. They were thinking, you know, it's for the children or something, you know? I mean,
they're judges, too. You understand that a lot of those people on the appeals court, you know, were moved up from these other courts. And, I mean, it's,
right.
So, I mean, what, you know, these guys, the lower court, when they made the ruling, I mean, they had to know that they were, like, not even, when I say thin ice, there was, like, no ice.
Well, the way that it works is, I mean, in my experience these days, the lower court just rubber stamps what Child Protective Services do. I mean, the Child Protective Services comes into court and they say, Your Honor, you know, we think these kids were abused. And the judge goes, well, then I guess that settles it. And, you know, and so my guess is that this lower court judge was just in the habit of routinely upholding Child Protective Services allegations as fact and just.
Yeah, but I mean, even he had to sit there and say, well, wait a minute, there's 400. I mean, you know, yeah. You know, there might be some abuse, but 438, that's a little strong. You know, it reminds me of when they had we talked about it before, the child abuse stuff in Massachusetts and so forth, that Dorothy Rabinowitz wrote so much about, where they, you know, basically convicted the whole town of child abuse and threw them all in jail. And it took, you know, so I think one or two of those people are still in jail, but I mean, it took, you know, 10 years of appeals to get some of those people out because it was all, you know, they were, that's the one where they were interviewing the kids, you know, sleep deprivation and waterboarding practically. And in order to say that you did this person touch you here? And then, and anybody that came out, like there was, you know, everybody was coming out and say, well, that can't be. And the next, you know, that person's on the gallows. And I mean, it was, they ended up, you know, basically throwing half or three quarters of the town in jail.
Well, in this case, I think they were trying to say too that the whole lifestyle was abusive.
I understand that part, and let me tell you, it is because you know what I don't know what the age of consent with parental approval is for a marriage in Texas, but I mean in Tennessee it's like 12, no, it's 14, I think, or something like that. but I mean, so you know, but I mean, even that's an arbitrary number. I hate to tell you,
you know. Sure.
I mean, let's face it, in some religions, or as you well know, there are over a billion people on this planet that, you know, will marry at age 2, 3, and 4.
Sure. And, I mean, you know, China has been doing it for centuries.
Well,
you know,
India, the same way, the planned deal, and the Muslim world and the whole deal. Yeah, I'm sure. So
yeah, I mean, to assume that anything else is somehow automatically wrong is just, arrogance on the part of the Child Protective Services, but they've been given so much power in recent decades that that's what they think. They think if they don't think it's a good idea, then it's not a good idea. And the way they always voice it in court is they say, well, Your Honor, we're concerned about these kids.
Right.
We're just concerned about the attention that the kids were getting or some vague statement like that. And then it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess there's concern. So therefore, you know, we'll ratify. Yeah,
that always, I always have to laugh when I watch Channel 12 here. In Gainesville, and I watch some of the city meetings, and they'll have public comment, and somebody will stand up and say, my name is, you know, Joe Schmo, and I'm a concerned citizen. I'm thinking, well, yeah.
That's right. Cool.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I mean, I get up there, and I'm an unconcerned citizen. I don't give a shit. But here's what I want to talk about anyway. No, it's always funny. But, I mean, the question, of course, one of the questions in my mind is, will this give Child Protective Services pause in the future? Probably not. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe in Texas, but I doubt it. I think there'll probably be a reaction back the other direction. They'll try to say, oh my God, you know, now we really need more power and more resources and more money.
Right.
Because we have to investigate all this stuff. The
right.
court said we need to investigate, therefore we need more investigators and more supervision and more anonymity to the calls or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. All sealed this and sealed that. Well, as Lord Acton said, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's what these guys are. They just corrupt. There's no question about it.
Well, yeah, they're running around with an amazing amount of power for even our society today. I mean,
right. Well,
they can come take your kids on an anonymous phone call from school and you don't get to see them for, you know, except for an hour per week. I mean, that's just totally normal in Florida.
And totally supervised.
Yeah.
Huh?
And totally supervised during that hour. It's not like you get to...
Oh, no, hell no. Yeah, no.
I mean, it's not like you get to go back in the bedroom and talk privately with your kid.
No, and you can't discuss the case or why you're not with mommy and daddy anymore or anything like that.
Can you imagine? I mean, no. I'm just stunned that people let them get away with this.
And listen, I see... I mean, I spent a lot of my job defending these people or trying to get their kids back, and a lot of my job was spent convincing them that, yes, you're still in the United States of America, it is the Constitution. I mean, I actually was in court the other day, and this guy got up, he tried to, it was in a shelter hearing, so they had just taken his kids the night before, and he got up, and he had a picture in his hand, and he said, Your Honor, I'd like the court to look at this picture. Picture's worth 1,000 words. And the court said, well, we're not here for that today. And he said, well, what, am I supposed to just stand here and let them take my kids? And they said, yes.
Oh.
And I mean, it's mind-blowing. But they just blew him off and threatened to remove him from the courtroom if he didn't shut up. And he got no say, and they just steamrolled him.
And they tased him, bro.
Don't tase me, bro. It's not going to be another year or two before we see somebody going postal. In the DCF court.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised it hadn't happened so far. But
I am too.
Counselor, you're our regular freaking Geraldo Rivera this week. I really like the.
I was gonna say wait real
in
quick
the, in the field reporting.
There was another story here that just came out. It was a father banned from son's graduation because he was a
sex offender.
He's trying to go to his son's eighth grade graduation, but he's a convicted sex offender. He's not allowed on school property. And this was back in 1990. He was accused, I guess, of raping a 15-year-old girl when he was 17. You know, one of those deals, you know.
Ah, right. Okay.
Anyway.
So now he can't go through his son's graduate. God, nope. Well, listen, I know you got to go.
Yes.
Thank you, show. Yes. No, this will be great fun. Make sure the Hanger Dogs know about us.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think listener Bart sent you in some theme music. This is Counselor Curtis theme music now.
Okay. from Boston Legal.
I believe so, yeah.
That's Boston Legal.
All right, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye. I'm off from Denver.
That's good. All right.
Want to take another break?
What I want to do is I'll finish off Jimmy's list here because there's a couple of cool things, and I think Jimmy's got a couple of light notes on here.
All right.
I wanted to hear about the, the Bush signed the genetics anti-discrimination law.
This was, yeah, really stunning. Apparently what happened was there's an anti-discrimination, and they've also done one here in Florida. Mm-hmm. This has to do with if you have a DNA somebody does a DNA sample or whatever it is, and they find out you are predisposed towards some
cancer or heart failure,
whatever the hell it is. You're not. There's no discrimination allowed. And of course, what's phenomenal about this is it flies in the face of reality. Let's say, for instance, this is one of the things that always gets me about the insurance industry. We have 1,800 insurance companies in the United States of America, and we always have, every state has an insurance commissioner to regulate the insurance companies because they would run amok. Well, they wouldn't, of course. With 1,800 of them, believe me, the market would take care of it. So the deal is, though, that what the panic stricken about is that if you have a propensity, say, for a heart attack or, brain cancer, whatever the hell it is, then your insurance rates from day one will skyrocket because they know that they're going to have to pay out. Well, what they want to do is they want to be able to throw you in the pool with, if you are predisposed to some particular disease, that you still get to get the cheap insurance along with everybody else. Well, of course, it can't happen because if you're going to have to the reason it can't happen is it has to, mathematically, it has to raise the rates for everybody else. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you are in a third stage lung cancer and that day you go in and you say, I'll pay my insurance premium today. Okay. Here's $5. And could I please have my $500,000 lung transplant? I mean, that's what they're talking about here, basically. Now, what they don't phrase it that way. What they say is, we're worried that you're going to get that you're going to have a test when you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years old and find out that you're predisposed, for instance, towards breast cancer. And we think that maybe by the time you're 60, you are going to have to, you're going to have breast cancer. So we want to make sure, since you have a predisposition towards this illness, we want to raise your rates or we want to not insure you. Well, the point is that the market would figure this out. For instance, if an insurance company eliminated 100% of the ladies that were predisposed towards breast cancer, for instance, those rates could be very low. They could be like almost free. Then you could pool, say, all of the people with breast cancer, possibility for breast cancer, and the rates would reflect it,
statistically,
right. I mean, there's nothing wrong. It seems to me that in the insurance business, especially, that the market would figure out the discrimination. And I would say that even, because let's face it, this is a horse that's out of the barn. This Pandora's box has been opened. You can do genetic marking for almost any disease, predisposition for almost anything. So why not, with all the insurance companies in the world, why not have the market figure it out? And if you happen to be genetically predisposed to be con, for instance, then your insurance rates are a penny a year.
Right.
Because you ain't going to die.
Right.
You know, if your DNA says you're immortal, basically, you don't have to, you know, you're in, if $5 is probably too much.
Right.
So, anyway, the deal is that the market would figure this out. So anyway, the bottom line is what they fail to understand is that if you are by law start throwing in people that you know in advance are going to cost you big money, then the rates have to go up for those people who are perfectly well. And that's, you know, and I realize that. I mean, I know what insurance is all about. Insurance is about pooling risk. But by the same token, here in Florida, one of the things that they've done with housing is if you live on the seashore in a manufactured home that happens to be built on seaweed, and you're on the Atlantic coast in Hurricane Alley, why should you pay the same rates as somebody who is in a bunker in the middle of the state with 10-inch thick concrete walls?
Right.
You shouldn't. Right. I mean, there is discrimination. I'm sorry. If you're going to live in a thatched hut with a $500,000 stereo system on the beach, you're going to pay $100,000 a year for insurance. and if you live in a bunker in Orlando, you're going to pay $20.
Right.
I mean, because we're not worried about it. So, but what they did here in Florida was they said they're the same. It doesn't matter. We don't care. The guy, and so naturally what happens is the guy in the middle of the state pays $250,000 and the guy on the coast pays $250,000.
Right.
Or what I mean, $50,000 and $50,000. And it doesn't make any sense at all. So this is the same kind of thing. This is Knutism.
It's a socialist solution.
Well, not only that, it's Knutism. Yeah. That what they're trying to do is to essentially say what is not. Mm-hmm. That is, we are going to pass a law that says pre-existing conditions or the propensity for a condition doesn't exist, in spite of the fact we know it does. We're going to treat it. We're going to act as if it doesn't. Well, the problem is reality is reality. If a person is going to get sick and another person is not going to get sick, if the pool were two people, for instance, one who is con and the other who is, Samuel L. Jackson from Breakable, you know, I mean, let's...
The bubble boy.
The bubble boy, right. I mean, you know, let's face it. I'm sorry, you know, and you're going to charge him the same? Right. No, it just it doesn't make any sense.
Wow. So, yeah, so yeah. So bad news on that.
Yeah.
But what about the count? The local here, the county sales tax for land backed?
Okay, this is another classic example. We've talked a little bit about this before, not about this particular thing. What we talked about here previously, one of the things that counties and cities love to do is to tax the foreigners, tax the out-of-towners. We do this here in Florida a lot because we have something like 44 million people a year. The hotel tax,
bed
right.
Tax.
And the bed tax, right. And what they want to raise the bed tax here locally because... only 25% of the locals have to pay the tax, and 75% of it or something like that number comes from people that are some of the idiots that happen to be driving down from Ohio. Now, what they want to do, so what they did...
the idiots.
So anyway...
Where Star Lord's from.
So anyway, it's called the I-75 Snagathon. And we also get them if they, you know, out-of-state tag, if they pass an emergency vehicle, they were nailing them out here again. Because they did another sting. They parked an ambulance or whatever or pop car on the side of the road. And if you went past, if you didn't
a
move over to the,
car.
Yeah, a pop car and they popped you if you went by, right. You know, at the speed limit 70, if you went by 51, boom, you got a $93 ticket.
Right.
Especially if you're from Ohio. So anyway, the point is that what they're doing on the bed tax, we already have one here and they do this all over the place. San Antonio, for instance, has one, I think it's like, or El Paso is, I paid 17% was the tax on the hotel. Anyway, but it's, the point is, they want to raise it here another penny, another percent. They call it a penny. It's a percent. And, but they don't know what they want to do with the money yet. So this is classic of governments. It's never enough. So now we have a new sales tax. And what they did is this is not the bed tax. This is a general 1% increase. Now they're calling it a penny. And of course, every time they do that, I always put a penny in an envelope and send it to them. And say paid up, but I've never gotten a response from them. I don't understand that. No, but anyway, it is a percent, and they're trying to raise $10, $15, $20 million over 10 years to buy, and they don't know what they want to buy yet. So they hired a group of people to go out and survey the community to find out what they would like. Well, the questions were stuff like, would you like it if the roads were less congested? You know, would you like to have a better life, and would you be willing to pay a penny for it?
Right.
I mean, duh! And of course, yeah. What blew me away was, and they said, would you like to have conservation and pay a penny for it? Would you like to have a better roads and pay a penny for it? Would you like to have cleaner air and pay a penny for it? And they went through the 37 things
it's
they went
just
through.
A penny.
Is that the remains
it's
of that we saw
penny.
There, the person that came by your place?
You mean that skeleton? That
yeah.
Burned out skeleton? You mean the one that looked like Aunt Dreeb or whatever from Luke Skywalker?
Clipboard? Yeah.
From Star Wars 1 when he went back to home and found the skeleton laying
right.
on the ground. You mean that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's who it is. The clipboard you'll notice is, still there. That's right.
Still
smoking. That's right. These shots were not made by, the sand people.
The only
sand people are not as good. Okay. That's it. So anyway, no, the deal. Okay. You lost me here. Wait a minute.
So the government, they're asking all these little funky questions.
So they're asking these questions that are basically, I mean, they're talk about softball questions. Would you feel good about this? And they were, what surprised me, they had 37 things and they ranked the top 10 as to what they might use this 1% or this, what they call a penny for. And only one person, I will give Rodney Long credit. He said, you know, when you ask a question like that, of course you're going to get a, I mean, who wouldn't? Because they figure they're not going to be paying for it or, you know, it doesn't sound like 1% or a penny doesn't sound like much. One of the other guys came in, Byerly comes in and he says, well, you know me, I'm a big conservation and I'm a bike pass person and so forth and so on. And, my vote already is for better roads, more concurrency, which is one of those things where you have wider roads and before you, and the infrastructure, he says, and I want to make sure everybody rides a bike and walks to work and yada, yada, yada and so forth. That's what I want to spend the penny on. Mass transportation. And buses, more buses and so forth. Well, of course, I'm sitting there thinking a couple of things. Number one, Rodney was right about that. You ask a question like that, I couldn't believe that some of the answers were like 42%. I mean, you ask a question, would you like to have sex with a blonde or a brunette, you know, or something like that to a guy? Well, some girls around here, I don't know. No, but I mean, you know, And if you don't get 100%, there's something wrong.
Right.
I mean, you know, so I'd say, you know, would you like to have wider roads and be willing to pay a penny for it? And the winner, it was a 68% approval rating. I'm thinking, You mean there were 32% of the people that said no? Right. I mean, that got to tell you something right off the bat. And so it was a joke. I mean, and I will say, Rodney, he did kind of touched on it. He said, you know, I'm not sure about this kind of thing. You know, do you suppose you could narrow it down? So next week, I'm going to go down and talk to him about it. So next week, I'm going to, they're supposedly come back with a little finer question. I didn't get asked, by the way. And I would
have, surprise.
Well, no, actually, I say I didn't get a chance to get asked because I vaporized the
right.
That's right. What's the latest on the what's the latest on the Lord Bailey? Apparently did not get enough signatures.
Didn't get enough signatures.
But now he's trying to get a raise money now.
Yeah. He's if you want to donate, I think is, you know, you can go to.
Now we did our part here. I think we probably got 30, 40, 50.
Additions down there to him, yeah. I went down there and saw his shop. I hadn't been to his new place, but I like the fact that he sells diving gear and firearms.
That's right. Those go hand in hand.
Two great things that go great together. And he does lots of concealed weapons permit stuff.
Ah, okay, good.
So, yeah, I was very happy. No, I really enjoyed meeting him again.
He's a nice fellow, no question about it.
Now, you went to it.
But unfortunately, I went to one of the meetings, the John Birch Society.
And we talked about that briefly.
Well, of course, unfortunately, that's a little bit like the Libertarian Convention.
Right, right.
I mean, there was they weren't deadheads, but they were like really old deadheads.
Now, if he gets this money, it's non-refundable, I guess, when you get on a pallet.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No, this is not like bail hearing or anything like that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
This is it's $4,500 or something, or you know, it's pretty good money to if you don't get the signatures. What do you have to have about it? It's like a dollar a signature or something.
He had nearly a thousand.
50 cents. Yeah, he had nearly 1,000 petitions, but it's either like 1,500, you know, verifiable petitions. Or, yeah, you're right, it's like $4,100 or something.
The number of petitions you have to have is a percentage of the last people that voted in the election or something like that. And it ain't all that much. If you have a dozen people that'll go out door to door, you could probably get it, but you have to get the dozen people to go door to door. In this heat? I don't think so. It's now, by the way, now hitting 90 every day.
Oh my God.
It's just, you know.
And my car broke down on the way to work on Friday. And it was raining, so that was classic.
And you notice that's the only rain we've had. I've always said that God has it in for you for some reason. God has decided to smite the mixer. I'm not sure what the deal is, but God is definitely
got it out for me. Yeah. Of course, you did see that Albert Einstein wrote out against
dismissed the idea of God. Mm-hmm. No, that's the atheist. And of course, that's another thing that Stefan Molyneux brings up. Is that I always find, and this is one of the real problems with politicians, they all have to express fealty to God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, which means that if you're an atheist, mm-hmm. if you're a scientist, if you're a person who deals in reason and logic, and not just in that which cannot be proven under any circumstances, i.e. faith,
mm-hmm.
Then you are doomed. You don't get a single vote. I mean, can you imagine somebody coming out and saying, I'm for... You know, smaller government, and I think that the market system is good to know. By the way, there is no God. That would be right away. You'd lose. I can't tell you how many votes. And that's one of the things that I have a little problem with Lloyd. No offense, but I mean, you know, they're all Pledge of Allegiance under God, and this and you know, God, country, and all this stuff, and hallelujah. And I'm not one of those people. And that's where I have a problem. Mm-hmm. Is that when you start to attribute your success. May God bless this meeting. I'm thinking, that's a waste of time.
Well
said. Well said.
Well said. What I was going to say is, the other one. What about this is classic
personal,
too.
Going back to that, personal responsibility. Take a little freaking personal responsibility for you. You know?
Well, a lot of that, let me tell you something. One of the things that you have to do, unfortunately with personal responsibility, is you basically have to throw the kid in the pond. I mean, the personal responsibility will reassert itself almost instantaneously, with the exception of Katrina in New Orleans, because they had been so conditioned to being taken care of. But basically, if you cut off somebody's air supply, water supply, money supply, whatever it is, you'll find they'll survive just fine. Mm-hmm. They will get religion, the religion of the market.
Right.
And of course, the thing I love about the market is it's self-correcting.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It doesn't require a third party to tell you what to do.
No,
can I get an amen?
It's just instantaneous.
Hallelujah.
There was one thing on here. I guess we could almost kind of jump to light notes.
Light notes? Yeah, let's wrap it up. We'll wrap it up with some light notes.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. It's late. Late
oh,
night.
Actually, this, I thought this was pretty pretty amazing. Atlantic City bans smoking in casinos. Can you imagine in New Jersey, in Atlantic City, no more smoking in the casinos?
You know, I find it, because when we were out in Las Vegas, and of course we're going
out. If anybody's from New Jersey, I know we have some listeners, let us know if there's anybody going to the casinos anymore. That's what I'd be curious about.
Well, it was interesting, because I noticed that in the casinos, not in Las Vegas, but I guess it was in Lachlan or someplace, we went through with Grandma and everybody, went into one of those casinos, and you still can smoke at the tables,
right,
but the rest of the casino is smoke free.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have like little special walls now. I mean, it used to be like really fun, but now it's, you know.
Well, it was pretty. Actually, it was kind of freaky. I went to Atlantic City for a birthday party for a buddy of mine, and we were there registered under somebody else's name, and of course I'm not even there's no way these people would know. I'm staying with somebody else in an apartment in Philly, and I left my little bathroom kit in there, my little doc kit.
Yeah.
And the ID I showed them to get in was a Florida ID. And somehow I left my doc kit there. It showed up on my doorstep about 4 days later. I have no idea how they figured out it was addressed to me at my friend's address, but we were staying at his address, but we were staying in a hotel room that was registered to somebody else. So we were trying to figure out how in the heck to
track. Now, see, now these are the people that ought to be TSA.
I mean,
these are the people that should be hunting down the terrorists. I mean, and as Dave Barry once said, you know, if you want to find Osama bin Laden, what you do is you go to his high school.
Right.
Or his college. Uh-huh. Because they're always asking for money. I don't know if you know this, but I mean, I flunked out of college after 1 year.
Right.
I've moved, I don't know how many times. I got a phone call from a local person.
At an unregistered, unregistered number.
Unregistered number.
Right.
Asking to come to a meeting of the alumni. And this is, I'm talking 50 years
ago.
Okay. I mean, you want to find Osama? Just go to his college. They know where he is. And this is
the same kind of thing. Just asked him for money last week.
Yeah, exactly. No, no. Yep. And so my point is, the casino people, these are the
Please
ones.
Stop calling me.
These are the ones you want in charge. I'm telling you, I would hire those guys in 2 seconds, fire all TSA and say, you guys take
you
over.
You guys deal with it.
That's it.
So the other one was the chimp thing.
Yeah, now this was in another country though, which I have always found interesting, that we look at other cities, other countries as, you know, buffoons when they do stuff, and of course they look at us when we do something like ban chasing pigs in this county, for instance.
Right.
It's against the law now to chase a pig.
It was the case of the European Court of Human Rights.
Right. And what I want
to
know...
His name is Matthew. He's 26 years old, and his supporter hoped to take his case to the European Court of Human Rights.
Well, the deal is, it's my understanding that his owner or somebody, like, died.
Right.
And so this lady, apparently, who has been... and I could be wrong.
He's a chimpanzee, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
That's it. We just want to make sure he was...
He's a chimpanzee.
He's a chimpanzee.
Right.
Matthew, 26, he's chimpanzee.
You're right. He's 20. Mm-hmm. He's a chimpanzee. But pretty smart. Always been with humans.
He's pretty smart.
Been with humans. Well, I mean, he's certainly... I looked at the FCAT grades here, for instance, in Florida. He's certainly as smart as any third grader. So anyway, the deal is that apparently his owner or whatever died, and now they want to put him in a foster home. Or foster care, or euthanize him, or whatever it is, because there's no place for him. And so this lady came forward. Apparently, she's known Matthew for a number of years. She said, "I'll take care of him. I'll be his guardian." And it turns out that in Austria or wherever this is, you can only be a guardian of a human. Well, so what she's done is she's suing to have Matthew declared a human.
Like Data in Star Trek.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and of course, my thinking is, you're going about this backwards. Why don't you go back and get the law changed that says guardians can apply to Matthew?
Right.
Rather than have Matthew declared a human, you can just have this one exception that says, if your chimpanzee is 26 years old and named Matthew, then it's okay. You can have a human guardian for that. Anyway, the reason it made the headlines was that she's going about it ass backwards, in that once one chimp is declared to be a human, well, they all are.
Right.
And then it moves down the food chain, and the next thing you know, I mean,
welfare.
It's already, we already, for our Endangered Species Act, you know, you've got slugs that have more rights than our slugs in Washington.
Exactly.
And so how long will it be before it doesn't say we the people anymore. It says we the animate organisms.
Right.
Do hereby declare.
No, animate organisms.
Yeah. I mean, and then after that, I'm wondering when the rocks will have inanimate.
And I told you about this.
Save the
woman.
Rocks.
The woman when I was working on the dive boat, she wrote a book on how to talk to inanimate objects. Big
nice.
Seller, actually.
Nice.
What?
Yeah.
It's just like, well, did this go with the pet rock?
Oh, well, I don't know, but we went and collected all these conch shells out. Well, they did, you know, when we were the crew on the boat, but they collected all these conch shells over in Bermuda and brought them back. And then a lot of people were forgetting them on the boat. And then she goes, she was picking them up and she was listening to them. She goes, well, this one wants to go back to Bermuda. Can't you just drop it off, you know, on your way back with Bahamas, you know? And we were like, yeah. And then the captain looks at her and he goes, they're going in this canal.
But I mean, is that what they all said, or is it kind of a group thing? Did they vote on it?
I mean, I don't know.
Did she listen to all one that said, well, I really like the people that picked me up, and I'd like to go with them.
Right.
You know, no.
Well, just, I don't know. I don't know if it was a group discussion or if it was...
The conks voted?
Find the leader conk is around
right.
here somewhere.
That's right. You know,
now, these were just the shells, though, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the shells.
Not even the line.
No, there was nothing.
The shells were talking. You know what they were saying?
Well, they are.
Put your finger in a little further, buddy.
That's it. Okay. All right.
Hey,
anything else?
No.
I don't know. No,
that's a great way to end the show.
Thank you, Jeff Roadshow.
Parents post baby on eBay for €1.
Nice.
It was a joke. And they this British... Oh, this is in Berlin. They said they took an ad out on eBay, and they said... I wanted to read the ad. My nearly new baby for sale. It has gotten too loud. It is a male baby, nearly 28 inches long, and can be used in either
inches.
It's
a baby.
70 centimeters.
I was going to say.
Yeah. But 28 inches long and can be used in either a baby carrier or stroller. Can be used in.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a joke, but of course they're not taking it that way.
They have
now taken pure custody. And the one thing was, I looked at the little stupid poll that they took. 72% of the people said yes, punish them.
Oh my God.
18% said no, and 10 said not sure, you know, and it's so.
Not really sure.
Yeah, 72% of the people, you know.
They can punish
the people for putting a joke on eBay.
Here's the way I look at it.
It was like when we were going to take the ad out for the slightly used Imperial Walker after Star Wars.
Yes.
Star Wars 2, you know.
Well, the other thing is, you think about, this is Germany, and I think that's the way Hansel and Gretel was, so you take the baby and you throw it in the oven.
Oh. We'll get some emails on that one.
We'll get some emails on that one.
Jimmy@JimmyDoon.com.
We have a blog. Right to our
that's
blog.
Right. That's Woo! Right. Right to our blog. That's
Jimmy Jabba.
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys something.
What did you want to say?
Oh,
my God, I'm hearing something in my headphones.
Have you heard about this new thing called GrooveShark.com?
GrooveShark.com?
GrooveShark.
It's a company based in Gainesville, and it's kind of like iTunes. You can upload your music library, and you can buy songs from other people for like 99 cents each.
Right.
But if people download your songs that you've uploaded from your library, you end up earning money.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there free porn?
No porn.
Oh.
No porn.
Do you have all your...
We'll put a link to it.
Do you have your DJ mixes up on there yet?
It's no, doomed, is that what you said? Is that what you said, Jimmy? No porn? Doomed.
Doomed.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just uploaded music so far.
Yeah. Okay.
We need grooveboobs.com.
Share your pictures.
That's right,
well,
baby.
Again, we go right back to you porn where it's all free anyway.
Pornstarlaura.com. You got a link to it on the Jimmy Dolan Show.
Alrighty, guys. Rock and roll. Hey, Hanger Dogs had a bunch of shows out. You guys check them out. They're really good, too.
Hanger Dogs.
Hanger Dogs rock.